we draw near to this table of remembrance this morning to remember our Lord's sacrifice, I wanted to thank the brethren this weekend for their labors to bring to our remembrance the significance of some of the types and shadows pertaining to the Feast of Yahweh. We certainly can recognize through those teachings how a servant of Yahweh should conduct himself. But more importantly, we can recognize the shadows of the substance that was to follow or come and whom we remember this morning. That substance in Christ Jesus, whom we gather to remember each first day of the week as commanded in the partaking of this bread and wine before us. For he said in several places in Scripture, "Do this in remembrance of me." We will remember the words of Paul, has already been cited this morning, to his letter in Galatians 3:24, that the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. For over in Ephesians 2:15, it says, "Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances, to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you who were far off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Switching back to verse 11, "Wherefore remember that ye, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were once far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Please turn with me over to Hebrews 8. We'll read a portion here, starting with verse 1. "Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is seated on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary, and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is a necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern shown thee in the mount. But now he hath obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which is established upon better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, there should be no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, 'Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel for after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, and I will write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall teach every man his neighbor," or "they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which is decayeth and groweth old is ready to vanish away. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and earthly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made the first, in which was the lampstand, and the tabernacle, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, in which was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubim of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus prepared, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of Yahweh. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Spirit thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in foods and drinks and various washings and cardinal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation or the setting of things right. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and calves and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the new covenant, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first covenant, they who are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And flipping back over to Hebrews 4, we'll continue with verse 14 in Hebrews 4. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And then over in Hebrews 10, 19 through 25 here. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Therefore, let us remember this morning and partake in these emblems the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11. He says, starting with verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, broke it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." I'd like to stand at this time. I will call upon our brother Scott Hugh. If he'll come forward and offer a prayer and partake of the bread and the... Let us rise once again, partaking of the cup.